YoMTG Taps is proudly sponsored by CoolStuffInc.com, where you can find cool stuff in stock every day. Use promo code YO5 to get 5% off your next order. YoMTG Taps is also sponsored by CardHoarder.com, our go-to source for Magic Online singles. Be sure to check out the Card Hoarder Loan Program, a flexible, affordable way to play many decks online. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Yo MTG Taps. I'm Joey Pasco.
And I'm Big Head Joe.
And we have a whole lot to talk about. We already said last episode that we were going to dedicate this entire episode to Modern Horizons. The full set is out, so we will be spending a large chunk of the episode on that. But we have a couple of announcements and some news.
Basically, we lied.
Yeah. Well, we didn't lie at the time.
We fully intended it, but too much cool stuff has come up, yeah. So we got to talk about it.
So yeah, first thing, we want to welcome Card Hoarder on board as a sponsor of the show, and
yes.
We're very, very excited about that.
Definitely. So super excited. So Card Hoarder, for those of you who don't know, they have bots on Modo, and they have a loan program for decks, and they're super awesome. They're super easy to use. It was almost like a disarmingly stripped down website at first when I went on there. I was like, this is really like basic, but like it's awesome because it's just, you know, no BS, no million little things going click here. It's like, no, you want your cards, you get your cards, you know, like you want a loan program, you do the loan program. It's real straightforward. I love it.
Yeah.
So we're doing the loan program for part of that, right?
Yes, we are. So I talked a little bit about the loan program a few episodes ago, it was a great experience for me, and Joe is now trying it out. So we're going to kind of use that as a way to bring a little bit more discussion of Modern into the show, because we know we were talking about Standard because of Arena. Now Joe gets to play Modern on Magic Online, and that's going to be a way for us to kind of make that a bigger part of what we bring you folks every week.
Joey's been like desperate for me to love Modern. Like, and I can just feel it every time we talk about it. He's like, I'm like, I hate Modern. It's such a dumb format. And he's like, come on, man. It's so cool though. I want to talk to you about it. Cause Joey and I love talking about Magic. And if there's a part of Magic that he likes that I don't, we can't talk about it. And it's not as fun. So he's been like really wanting me and really trying to pull me towards liking Modern. So this is going to be a great opportunity for me to dive into the format and to check it out, like Steve Brule. And we're actually going to do, because, you know, I'm not going to just play some like tier one deck because I'm dumb. I don't want to play a tier one deck. I don't like winning. But honestly though, like my interest in getting into learning Modern is a little more casual than it is when it comes to like Standard and Draft. Like Standard and Draft, I want to win. Like I just want to win straight up, and I don't want you to have fun while I do it. But like with Modern, I'm kind of more interested in kind of in learning the format and appreciating the format more than just wins and losses, because wins and losses, if they're not happening, especially with the kind of decks I want to play, doesn't make it as fun. So I'm going to utilize the loan program, and it's going to be an opportunity for me to try weird decks without any risk and come back and talk about them. And we're going to do a whole new segment on the show. It's going to be named the Fringe Division, where I'm going to play Fringe Modern decks, slam them up against the league, probably friendly league. I'm not sure I want to dive into competitive league. It's just a little too much pressure. And then come back and talk about those decks and how I felt like they performed, matchups, et cetera, et cetera. So it should be a really cool, unique look at Modern.
Yeah.
Because it's the way I want to look at Modern, you know, is from a unique perspective. I just don't want to grab my – as much as I want to play Mono Red, as much fun as it looks, I just don't want to grab Mono Red and just smash. I want to just try some weird things and learn the format and learn some new cards and some new decks along the way. So,
and play with some old cards that you haven't played with in a while, you know? That's another –
Yes.
So, I mean, huge thank you to Card Hoarder for jumping on board with us and sponsoring the show alongside Cool Stuff Inc. But yeah, we're going to start that segment, the Fringe Division, I believe next episode. So
yes, and I'm going to be playing Blue Black Mill. So we're starting right off at the fringe of the fringe.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, it's not completely rogue. Like, there are lists. Like, people do play it. Like, there was an article on Hipsters of the Coast about a mill deck a couple months ago. So it's a deck. It's just, it's fringe. That's the point. It's tier two, tier three, further. I don't know. but that'll be fun, especially because that's a deck that you've played in the past, not in Modern, but just kind of
right.
in casual. Yeah. So that'll be cool. And that's a fun way to kick off our new little segment. So,
for sure.
Now we've got some news items. Joe, you want to start with this first one?
Yes. So we got this announcement a couple days ago that Red Bull is sponsoring a tournament on Arena. It's the Untapped Red Bull Untapped tournament. This was announced with a $200,000 prize pool, which is really neat. And the reason why we're mentioning it is because there are qualifiers. And you, Joey, and me, can qualify for this. The way you qualify for this event is you have to apply. So there's going to be up to 16 Pro League players per event, and others will be added to the pool for random selection. I don't know what that means. There's going to be 34 Twitch streamers with 10,000 followers, 40 Mythic ranked players in Arena, a minimum of 100 players from Europe, and then the remaining slots will be randomly allocated. So you apply for this, and you give them some info, and then they will either pick you or not. That's cool. So players who are not chosen for their respective category, so if you're Mythic and you don't get chosen for as a Mythic-ranked player, they will be added to the remaining slots. So it gives, you know, so you can get you can get one of the random slots, too.
Right.
So those players have two chances to get a seat.
Right.
So the applications close June 10th at 10 p.m. CEST, which whatever time zone that is.
I know. I'm like,
we'll put a time zone converter in the show notes.
So it's 6:43 p.m. right now. So that's 6 hours ahead of me and 7 hours ahead of you. So it's kind of like it's Central European summertime is what.
Okay.
What that is.
Okay. So 6 hours ahead. So 4 p.m. June 10th.
And that's Eastern time.
That's Eastern time. Right. Yeah. Right. So 4 p.m. Eastern on June 10th. So I was sitting there thinking, okay, I'm going to take like a week off from grinding Arena because I hit Mythic this last season, which was really cool, but I didn't hit top 1,000. I did not quite get there because I hit Mythic like 24 hours before the season ended.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to grind into the top 1,000. Didn't have enough success to grind into the top 1,000 either, but that's another story. So I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to take a week off and not try to grind into that again, but here comes this thing, and putting in your application, and you get to click a box that says, I am Mythic ranked. That helps you get another category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so I'm like, okay, time to grind for another couple days, at least get to Mythic, and then put in your application before time closes. I'm going to put one in either way, but I'm going to try to get to Mythic before I do, because it gives me another opportunity.
Absolutely.
The main event, or like the qualifier tournament is like the 29th. Oh, and that's the other weird thing, is that there are two qualifiers for the actual tournament, and they're June 29th and June 30th. When you apply for this, you choose one or the other. You can't apply for both.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you can
choose. So you have to pick 29th or 30th. Those are a Saturday and a Sunday, FYI. And then the top four players from that qualify for their big event.
Right.
And the big event is looks like it's August 4th. That's right. The winners and runner-up of each qualifier event are invited to the top eight finals. Oh, okay. What? I'm confused. But anyway, you can qualify for a qualifier to qualify for a qualifier to be qualified. But who cares? Apply for it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, here's just another event that you can play that eventually can get you to a Mythic Championship, because the winner of the Red Bull Untapped is going to be featured by Red Bull. Well, does that mean they're qualified for the Mythic Championship? This is so weird.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they are. From what I've gathered, yeah, it says here, the winner is automatically qualified for the Mythic Championship taking place in Richmond in November 2019.
Okay, there we go.
There it is. So that's straight up. But yeah, like I said, it's literally $0. Sign up. You know, like,
yeah.
Put your name in. Play free tournament for maybe free money. You know, like, there's not much to complain about. Even though it's convoluted, it's free. Do it. So that's basically it.
I think this is the thing that strikes me about this is just what this kind of means for the game. Like, this is kind of exactly what we started to, I don't know, hope or expect would happen when Arena kind of blew up, you know, a few months ago, and last fall it really started to kind of get a lot of momentum. But with the whole push towards making Arena such an avenue for the competitive events, this is exactly the kind of thing that we were sort of expecting to happen. And here it is, Red Bull, which is, you know, a name brand, nothing to do with gaming. It's like, hey, we're sponsoring a Magic tournament. Like,
right.
Magic
X Games.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big deal.
Awesome. It is a really big deal.
So the next piece of news here, this just came out yesterday. And it's, I think it's big news. Not super surprising either. The London Mulligan will be implemented officially on all formats as of early July with the release of Core Set 2020. So we're getting the London Mulligan. Most people, I think, really like it, but there are some people who have their criticisms of it, mainly for Eternal formats. And I know we talked about that a little bit on the show, about how it affects particularly Modern. But I'm excited about it. I loved it. I think it is really good for the game. And I think I saw someone kind of mention it this way, and I like kind of thinking of it like this. If the London Mulligan causes problems in Modern, for example, maybe it's not the London Mulligan that is the problem. It's just shining a light on a problem. So the London Mulligan should stay, and those problems should be addressed. I think Saffron Olive actually tweeted, this will probably make it so Tron finally gets banned in Modern.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And, you know, I kind of hope so. We'll see. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here, where it's like, go ahead and implement the London Mulligan in Modern, and if there are problems, deal with them that way, you know, on the side of, you know, whatever the Allosaurus Rider that we talked about for the Neoform combo, or Tron, or whatever it is that is taking too much advantage or getting too much advantage out of the London Mulligan. Because I really do think it's a cool, a new way to really play the game, and kind of or a new way to mulligan and make less non-games. But if you want to read some well thought out criticisms of the London Mulligan, we're going to link a blog post written by Zvi Malshewitz. He wrote it back in March, but he tweeted it again, I think yesterday when this was announced, kind of saying like, here are my criticisms of this. And he makes interesting points. And I think it's good to kind of be aware of all sides of things. But right now I'm excited, and I'm excited to see kind of how things go over the next several months as we all get used to mulliganing in this way.
Yes, I actually like the way you put that a lot about it shining a light on the problems rather than being the problem itself.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool, and I think that that's really true. I think this is great. I think that this is great for my Jund Dreadhorde standard deck. So I can't be too sad about it because I really need certain cards in my hand in that deck in standard. So yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's see how this works for that. But in general, I think change is healthy. And I think that, you know, trying things to make the game more interactive is healthy. And I think that this should be great. I mean, like, I think it'll be fine. And if there are problems, we get rid of the problems, right?
Yeah. I mean, this game is a game for 25 years or whatever. I'm sorry, 26 years now. You know, we've had this game that evolves over time. It changes constantly. You know, the mm-hmm. the cards change, the formats change, the ban list changes. You have mulligan rules that change. And if it's a bad change, if it doesn't work, we'll get another change. And so we're always, you know, seeking perfection, I guess. So I think that's good. This last piece of news, very, very exciting. For anybody who especially likes the characters of the game, Netflix announced that we're getting a Magic Netflix series, I guess TV series you'd call it, but it's on Netflix.
Just from some randos, right?
Yeah, some Russos, not randos.
Oh, Russos.
Yeah. No, the Russo brothers, who worked on Avengers Endgame, are the kind of the showrunners for this. I don't know if they're the showrunners or what they – their exact titles are, but they're right. The headlining creative team behind making this show for Netflix. It's a Magic the Gathering series. And oh my God, like really? We've been, you know, 25 years. Okay. Maybe 20 years when we really kind of started thinking, hey, why don't we, you know, see something made out of the Magic storyline that we can watch on a screen.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to get it. Now, I guess the question for me is I wish they had given us some sort of ETA, like just a rough idea. Like, is it this fall, next summer? Never, you know,
right.
I'm a little bit afraid of the never part, but I think it's coming out
right when the movie comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Alongside the movie. Right.
Yeah. I actually read another headline that went a little deeper into the show, which is really cool. And it's from the hardtimes.net. This is a reputable website. Magic the Gathering anime to be 12 episodes of nobody having enough lands to do anything.
That's getting the real scoop right there.
That was great.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen Avengers Endgame. I haven't really watched a lot of the superhero movies over the past 10 years or so. So, this to me is big news, but maybe I would think it were even more exciting if I knew something about these Russo brothers who I never heard of until yesterday. So they were some randos to me.
Captain America is not going to show up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but they're big names. I mean, they literally have the second biggest box office movie in history currently. So they're heavyweights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What it seems
like. So I think that's something just to be happy about is that, you know, the Magic Netflix series, is going to be made by people who could be doing literally anything right now.
Yeah.
You know, like they could be doing literally anything. They have the keys to the film city and they could be doing anything, but they're doing a Magic Netflix series, which shows you like how cool that could be, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's a good way of putting it. That's really exciting. And I think Kenny was mentioning in our Discord chat that they played Magic, and I did spot that in one of the articles that I skimmed yesterday about it. So they played or do play Magic, so it's a passion project, I guess. So that's pretty awesome. So I'm super excited about this. I just wish I had some idea of when to expect it, you know, like because without that I don't know. I just want more information. It's about Planeswalkers.
I want more. You
know
that.
Yeah. So do you want to move on?
No, let's talk about more stuff that isn't the topic of this episode.
Sure. Okay, so we did something a little different this week, and because of the Modern Horizons previews being coming out, kind of wanted to keep our opinions fresh rather than waiting until the whole set was spoiled and kind of forgetting what we thought about various cards being in or not being in the set. So we actually recorded on the Friday right after our previous episode. So basically a week and a half ago, we recorded half an episode. So that's what we're going to start with here. Our first segment being our opinions on some things as they stood Friday, May 26th or 25th, I think. Check that out. And then after that, we'll have a second segment where we're recording right now after this has been revealed. So anything you wanted to add before we jump into our time machine, I guess?
I'll see you in the future of the past forever. Anyway, so let's move on.
Okay. So we are recording, what, 3 days after we recorded the previous episode? So
I think our previous episode literally just posted on Cool Stuff Inc.
Yes, so. Yes, this morning. So it's Friday. We just recorded on Tuesday. What we're going to do is actually just kind of record in chunks because I feel like there's a lot to say about this set, and as it rolls out, I have a lot to say. And we just kind of wanted our opinions to come off a little more fresh. And also, I need to rant.
For sure. And we can start with that rant.
Okay.
Because what we're talking about are Modern Horizons previews. And so Modern Horizons previews, or spoilers, as I refuse to not call them, are, you know, the cards that come out from time to time as the set is being revealed. But what we've already been told on a live stream, I think it was,
Weekly
is that
MTG.
There's one card that we will not be talking about on this or any other Modern Horizons spoiler episode. What card is that, Joey?
So that card is Counterspell. I have my notes here. Let me just get up on my soapbox and I'll just go with what I got here. So, I think to start with, I feel like Wizards may have been a little disingenuous in the announcement of Modern Horizons, because I believe if you read Ethan Fleischer's article from, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, he talks about the creation of this set and how it started off as an idea to create another Time Spiral, because the Time Spiral block, and specifically the Time Spiral set, was kind of a failure from a broad perspective because it was so complicated and there were so many in-jokes that new players couldn't really get into it very easily. But it was a super successful set in terms of enfranchised players, and people love it. And a lot of people, especially enfranchised players in particular, that might be their favorite set. I could say that's probably true for me. I loved Time Spiral. So that's a great idea. Somebody decided, hey, you know, it would be great if we could create another Time Spiral. And that's not the same thing as saying, let's create a set for Modern. So for me, I think it's a little bit disingenuous of them to have come out with this, naming the set Modern Horizons, and giving us all this impression that the set was created for Modern, when really I think it's a set that was created that can be direct to Modern. I think that this kind of gave everybody high expectations, including cards like Counterspell and Swords to Plowshares. People were talking about those kinds of cards being safe for Modern, or possibly being safe for Modern, possibly showing up in the set. And, you know, we don't have every card right now as of Friday, May 24th. But we already know Counterspell is not in the set, and I don't expect Swords to Plowshares to show up. But regarding Counterspell in particular, the thing is, it's about expectations. And the consensus over years of articles and conversations, the consensus in general is that Counterspell was fine for Modern, but not for Standard. And so I think a lot of these conversations were like, is there a way it could go into Standard? What if there were a set that just was for Modern? And this was the card. Counterspell was the card in those kinds of discussions. Like, if there were a set that skipped Standard entirely, we could put Counterspell in, or, you know, we could get Counterspell. Now, again, I'm not talking about conversations with Wizards of the Coast folks. I'm just talking about community conversations. And I know the community is not, you know, we don't design the game. We don't make the decisions. But I think a lot of times the community kind of has a consensus and generally can be correct. But I guess I'm getting off topic here. But Counterspell was the card that was always brought up for this topic as being safe for Modern, not for Standard. So if you remember a couple months ago, there were rumors about a set that was going to come straight to Modern and skip Standard. But those rumors didn't say anything about old reprints. Nobody was expecting what we ended up getting. People didn't get that, didn't start expecting a Counterspell until the announcement, which, so like, this announcement seemed tailor-made for a card like Counterspell. I felt like while we were watching the announcement, it was like they were referring to Counterspell the whole time, but couldn't say it. It was like, this is a set, we're going to include old reprints like Counterspell, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, like, we're not going to say Counterspell, but, you know, this is the set for Counterspell. That's what it felt like the whole time. It was the most obvious, like, auto-include in so many people's minds, and at least that's what it felt like to me. This is my perspective of the situation, and, you know, last night, Weekly MTG, they are talking about, like, oh, look at this cool new mocks and cool stuff that's going to be in the packs. Great. Counterspell is not going to be in the set because we, quote, wanted the exciting cards to be the new cards. So they're just admitting right away that Counterspell would be more exciting than anything else in Modern Horizons. Okay. Got it. All right. That's the end of my rant. Sorry.
Okay. So I disagree with this. So here's the thing. Counterspell is the card that comes to mind to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, in general, we put our own ideas on something well before we actually see it and well before it's presented by the people who created it. And I think that Magic players in general do this a lot. You know, we expect things to be something maybe that they are not, or something they were never intended to be, because it's what we want. And I get it. And look, and if I designed this set, Joey, Counterspell would be in. Okay? Like, Counterspell would be in. Let me just make that very clear. I'm not saying that I don't think Counterspell should be in Modern. I think Counterspell should be in Modern. I think it's a great card. I think it's a powerful card. But I think, you know, Modern is a powerful format. It can handle powerful cards like Counterspell. I think it should be there. But it's not. It's not in this set. It's not going to be in this set. And that's fine. And the reason why that's fine is because it's their set. And, you know, and it's their vision of the game more than it's ours. And that's the reality of anything. You know, a TV show doesn't end the way you want it to, but because you didn't write it. They did. You know what I mean? And I think that goes for a lot of things. I'm a big wrestling fan, and oh my God, if I based my opinion of wrestling based on how I wish it would have happened, there's no way I would watch wrestling. So I think that, I think social media has really amplified this, where we want what we want the way we want it today, you know, and that's not how it always winds up. I mean, you're allowed, by all means, Joey, you're allowed to be upset that Counterspell's not in the set, because it's your favorite card, pretty much, if not definitely your favorite card, you know? we all want our favorite things in the things that we love, you know? We want things like that to happen, you know? I want Cesaro to be WWE champion. It's probably never going to happen, and that's okay. But in the end, this is a decision that Wizards' decision to make.
Sure.
They know exactly what they're doing by including or excluding Counterspell. It's not like they're like, maybe people won't notice. Of course people are going to notice. It's Counterspell.
Yeah.
You know, it's a staple. Love it or hate it, you have a strong opinion about it. Everyone has a strong opinion about Counterspell.
Right.
You know, so they know exactly what they're doing by including or excluding Counterspell.
I agree.
Their choice was exclude. Well, literally and figuratively.
Right. Nice.
I didn't even mean that, that. I'm sorry. But it was, you know, their choice was to exclude Counterspell.
That's not even a legal game action. It says counter target creature spell.
Oh, dang it. Well, you know what? Wizards is known for breaking the rules.
I guess so. No, so I understand. So, like, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just saying I'm very disappointed. I'm not alone, and I think my expectations aren't unreasonable, and I feel like a lot of people, you know, the expectation that Counterspell would be in the set is not an unreasonable expectation. And given what we've seen so far of the set, I feel like they kind of made some missteps with how they presented the set as something that was kind of supposed to be for Modern, and I feel like a lot of the cards we're seeing look like this is like a Commander set or Battle Bond, you know, like it looks like it's a supplemental set. That's fine. But, you know, as a Modern player, I'm looking at things going, I don't know, at best, we're seeing like a handful of cards that I think are going to make an impact in Modern. I don't think it's going to have no impact, but really the set doesn't feel like it should be called Modern Horizons. It should be called Time Spiral 2 or whatever they want to call it. Like, call it what it is and don't call it Modern Horizons and say, hey, these cards are legal in Modern Legacy and, you know, Commander and whatever else. But don't call it Modern Horizons and act like it's specifically for Modern when the set is clearly just kind of like a supplemental set legal in Eternal formats. Like, I think that's what they should have done. So that's
I disagree with that.
It's just it doesn't feel like it's created for Modern. It feels like they went, oh, these could work in Modern. No, I mean, obviously they didn't just make the set up in 5 minutes and then go, what could we use this for? But the set to me looks more like they should have called it something, you know, Eternal Horizons, and said these are for non-rotating sets.
I don't think that they're negating blue players entirely. I mean, I thought they would quench you with Force of Negation and Flusterstorm. But you're treating it like your essence has been scattered, you know?
They've removed my soul.
Yeah. Well, they want your soul.
We can get off this topic. It's fine. It's we are where we are. I'm disappointed. I feel like it should have been in the set. I was expecting it. I don't feel like that was unreasonable. That's enough. Like that's just these are my opinions. You know, that's why I said it's a soapbox rant thing. So
I think that the life lesson to be learned here in general
have no
is lower your expectations. Yes, that's right, baby. That's right. If you have no expectations, you can't be disappointed.
Right.
I'm going to use that to jump right into my first card because it actually ties into this discussion a bit.
Okay, cool.
Force of Rage. Force of Rage is an instant. It's 2 red and 1. It's a rare, right? So 3 mana instant spell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not your turn, you may exile a red card from your hand rather than pay this spell's mana cost. So you can get it for a freebie on your own turn or on your opponent's turn. And the spell says, create 2/3/1 red elemental creature tokens with trample and haste. Sacrifice those tokens at the beginning of your next upkeep. So, the reason why I mention this card is because I've heard a lot of people complaining about how bad it is. Okay? People are saying, oh, it's just not powerful enough. They promised us a force cycle. No, they didn't. You know, like, yeah, they made Force of Negation. That's great. The white one's weak, just like the original white one from the cycle in Alliances. But it doesn't mean that they promised, like, this unbeatable cycle of cards. You know, like, they made a cycle of cards. It doesn't mean every single one. Like, what I said, the comment I made about this is I think this is fine. I think this card is just fine. So 2/3/1s for 3 mana, or like an emergency don't die blocker on your opponent's turn, fine. You know?
Right.
This card does not say scry 12, deal 10, but that's not the power level. You know? It doesn't even scry 8. What? This card sucks. No, it really doesn't. It's fine. Like, Ball Lightning is the same cost but more prohibitive for one less toughness on one body, you know?
Yep.
And this doesn't even say beginning of next end step. This says beginning and next upkeep. So for whatever reason, if you had some way you could sacrifice this creature on your opponent's turn, and they didn't block it or whatever, you know, like say that you would swing into this with an empty board, and then they play Liliana or something, and you have maybe two other creatures out, and it says sacrifice two creatures, you still have these around to sacrifice to Liliana. You know, I'm not even saying that people play Liliana in that format. I'm just saying, in general, you know, they stick around a little longer than Ball Lightning does too.
That's true.
So there's really nothing too bad to say about this card. Is this card like an all-star? No, absolutely not. But you know, like,
I like your Ball Lightning comparison, right? Because it's Ball Lightning in a way, right? Like if you pay three mana and you get six power haste, right? Like it's Ball Lightning in that sense. But you can also play it during your opponent's turn to block. Like that, that's, I don't know, that's kind of cool.
Free. Like you can be tapped completely out.
For a card,
And then you're like, if all I have to do is untap next turn and I win, and you can go discard, it has to be a red card, it can't be a land, so unless you have Painter's Servant, but that's a whole other story. discard a red card, play these two blockers, survive, untap, do the red deck thing, you know what I mean? Like, which is be out of cards by turn four, but whatever. you know, fair. But still, I'm saying there are applications, and you can also just play this for three mana on your opponent's turn. You don't have to exile blue, you know, you don't have to exile a red card just because it's your opponent's turn. You can just tap three and play this. If you need to. So if you can't afford to discard the card or whatever. So anyway, and then they even survive until your next upkeep. So you get a trigger to sacrifice them, and then you could sacrifice them to something else. I don't know how that works exactly. You know, if all those triggers go on the stack at the same time, you could order your triggers. But, you know, I think that people really, like, just have this crazy, unrealistic expectation of how powerful this set is supposed to be. It's a Magic set, you know? This is a set of cards that are meant to interact together. Just because every single card isn't like Juzam Dzin doesn't mean...
Wait, there's a red one.
So it doesn't mean that that this isn't like an awesome like throwback set, you know? It doesn't mean that this isn't
Talking about
a
expectations.
Powerful set. Although I don't understand Mox Tanalite's appeal at all, but anyway, I'm just not going to get into that. It says the word Mox on it, and that's pretty. But I mean,
it's a ramp spell on turn, you know, whatever four.
The whatever you call it, the one that Lotus Bloom.
Lotus Bloom, the one that the you could do that.
This has the same exact cost, but taps and sacrifices for three mana. I don't know. Usually, I feel like this sticks around. But I feel like if you're trying to ramp like that, you probably just want to kill somebody, right? But anyway, whatever.
it's not as Tantalite zing to you?
Jesus. Yes, that's correct. So, Joey, tell me what card you want to talk about.
Okay, so I want to talk about a card that was just previewed today, Winds of Abandon.
Okay.
Which is a sorcery it's a rare for white and one more, so two mana sorcery. Exile target creature you don't control. For each creature exiled this way, its controller searches their library for a basic land card. Those players put those cards onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle their libraries. And it has overload for white, and four, so six mana. You may cast this spell for its overload cost. If you do, change its text by replacing all instances of target with each. So basically this is, as I initially described it, path to exile at twice the cost, half the speed, and with a bad wrath tacked onto the end. but that said, this isn't as bad as I like initially thought when I first read it. Because again, I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, we were expecting Swords to Plowshares and we got this. But again, expectations. So thinking about this card, first of all, two mana is a lot more than one, but it is also still, you know, there's two mana is a perfectly fine cost for Modern. It is basically a path to exile that you can't target your own creatures. So you can't, you know, do the old trick where you're going to search for a land because you're mana screwed, like you do with Path to Exile. But this card, I could see it actually seeing play in blue-white decks as maybe a one or two of, because you can cast it early. It can be removal. And you can cast it late because it can be a sweeper. And it's a one-sided sweeper, but it has that versatility to be able to be played in the early stages of the game or the late game because, you know, sometimes, you know, you top deck Path to Exile when you're facing four threats on the other side of the board and you're like, well,
yeah,
I maybe you can live for another turn, but I'm still on the ropes here. And in this case, you can, you know, overload it and wipe their side of the board. They are exiled. They're not destroyed. So, you know, this is good against Arclight Phoenix and a number of other threats in Modern. And the other thing just I wanted to point out about this card is Teferi 3, you know, Teferi Time Raveler is seeing play in Modern. And it's you tick them up and you cast Winds of Abandon on your opponent's turn. So now it's just a double costed Path to Exile. So just the fact that it's a sorcery doesn't necessarily mean you're always going to be casting it as a sorcery. So I actually like this card. And I, you know, kind of wanted to give it some love.
Yeah, I think it's really versatile. You know, and I like that evaluation of it. You know, and it's probably not a four of because we do have Path to Exile. You know,
right?
So probably not a four of, but as a supplement, as like your fifth and sixth path, like pretty sweet. You know, I mean, you want Swords to Plowshares. Well, you don't have Swords to Plowshares, but you still have Path to Exile, and you have this card, which could do more than Swords or Path.
You play this over
if you make it to the late game.
Sorry, yeah, you play this over Condemn or Oust, unless you really need the one mana spell. But decks are playing Condemn and Oust in Modern as a one or two of. So,
okay, so one more card I want to talk about for this segment of our show. Is Aria of Flame. So Aria of Flame is an interesting card.
It's a Song of Fire, right?
Yes.
Song of Just Fire.
That's right. So Aria is going to stick him with the pointy end.
That's
for
right.
Red and two. It's an enchantment. It's a rare. And it says, when Aria of Flame enters the battlefield, each opponent gains 10 life, which is a great effect for a red card to have.
The end. Subverting expectations.
Right. So we'll see you all next time on YoMT. No. Okay, so there's more text. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a verse counter on Aria of Flame. Then it deals damage equal to the number of verse counters on it to target player or planeswalker. So, with this card, when you play it, it's bad. If they have enchantment removal, it's really bad. It's not like the one that, like, when it leaves play, they lose 10 life. It's just really bad. So you get that 10 life back in four spells. So first spell deals a damage. Second spell deals two damage. Third spell three. Fourth spell four. And then you've dealt the 10 damage back that you did. And then after that, the next spell you deals five damage off of this plus whatever it was going to deal, which is a great deal. Now, let's say you start the game with Leyline of Punishment in play.
Ooh,
this card gets a lot better.
I like it.
So, you
remind
so you,
everybody
you run,
what Leyline of Punishment does.
Leyline of Punishment says, if Leyline of Punishment is in your opening hand, you may begin the game with it on the battlefield. Players can't gain life. Damage can't be prevented. So, this stops life gain. You'd have to have a lot of mana to use this with, like, Skullcrack in the same turn. So that's probably not going to happen, you know, not realistically. But Leyline of Punishment could combo with this beautifully. And then you're just value town. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, I don't know if there are a lot. I don't think there's a lot of life gain in Modern right now, like naturally in the decks, other than like the whatever you call it, Soul Sisters, if that exists, or the Martyr of Sands. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
Those decks.
The deck built specifically around life gain.
Right. I don't think there's a lot of incidental life gain like there is in Standard right now. So I don't know if Leyline of Punishment is great in the main deck, but you could combo that with this. I'm not saying that's real. Any of this is realistic. I'm just thinking of ways to use this card. It's an interesting effect that obviously just gets better the more spells you cast. And if you have some way to take away the downside, then it can be amazing.
This is interesting.
So I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. I like the idea of that. I don't know how practical it is. Again, the Rampaging Frosadon is not banned in Modern, so you could run that alongside of it too.
Yeah. So you're, I mean, thinking about it in a typical burn deck, it doesn't really fit because, first of all, it's three mana and has that downside. But if you were to build a more, like a big red deck or more of a red prison deck, you play cards like Blood Moon. And so it's a slower red deck, but you're trying to kind of lock them out. You could play the Leyline. You could also play the new Tybalt. You could play Rampaging Ferocidon, and you play Skullcrack. Those are some options for you to kind of, go around that downside. The other interesting thing that comes to mind with that particular downside is Grixis Death Shadow, or just Death Shadow in general. It's a wrath for Death Shadow because it just probably kills whatever Death Shadows are on the board, or
that's funny.
Makes a Death Shadow deck have to do a lot of work again. Now it's kind of that deck is such a strange animal on its own because it's trying to lose life until but stay right there on the edge of that cliff, and then beat you down with Death Shadow. So I just feel like it would be a kind of amusing interaction to see somebody trying to play Death Shadow and then you resolve this and give them 10 life. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question. You could build around this, and I actually hope you do with the Card Hoarder Loan account and try to build like a big red style deck. I mean, maybe it's, you know, more prison style kind of thing, like having cards like Blood Moon. Maybe you play Chalice and cards like that to try to basically slow the game down a little bit. But then you can just go off with your instants and sorceries. And another card to consider for this deck is the red Finale. Is that Finale of Promise, I think?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're playing instants and sorceries right there. There's three, one instant, one sorcery, and the actual Finale itself. So that's a lot of damage right there.
What about just running this with Warlord's Fury and Crash Through in a deck?
And Arclight Phoenix. I mean, I'm not kidding.
In modern, it's legit, dude.
That's right. Like, okay, there you go.
I have no problem with Arclight in Modern. I think that Modern is the place for it. But again, you'd have to get it in your graveyard, which means you have to play terrible cards like Tormenting Voice. But you do. I mean, you have Faithless Looting in Modern. What am I talking about? You know what I mean? Faithless Looting makes it amazing. You know what I mean? So,
I don't know. These are things to think about. I like it. I think it's cool. Like this, it's fun. I'm glad you brought that card up because it's kind of fun to think about.
It is. I think it's really fun to think about, honestly, which is why I wanted to talk about it.
Cool.
So, we're going to cut it off right here for now, right? Because we're going to come back next week and talk about more cards.
Yep. So this is just the end of segment one. So we'll see you folks, talk to you folks in about 1 second. Okay, now we're back.
We went so many places.
So now that the full Modern Horizons set has been revealed, we're going to talk about just some cards that we're excited about and some ideas that we're excited about. I want to start off by saying I'm still ticked off that there's no Counterspell in the set. And we'll get to a little more on that. You mean
like a card that says Counterspell? I mean, because I think there's like eight in the set.
That's true.
Counter a spell.
That's true. But that said, I think looking at the whole set, I think Wizards nailed it outside of naming the set Modern Horizons. And I think I touched on that when we, in our previous thing where our previous recording, where I just don't think they should have named it this because I think it could have been just as exciting if they had named it, Eternal Horizons and said, guess what? These are legal for Modern, and everybody would be just as excited. Like, oh, we're getting new cards in a supplemental set for Modern. That would have been just as exciting and wouldn't have set expectations in a way that made a lot of people kind of disappointed when they saw the contents of the set wasn't just for Modern. So I think they nailed it though. I'm not trying to harp on the negative part. I think the contents of the set, they nailed it.
But here's the thing, Joey. No matter what they name the set, the only reason why you can say that if they hadn't named it Modern Horizons, people would be less disappointed is because they named it Modern Horizons and you already have that in your head. But it doesn't matter what it was called. It could be called just some random casual set for casuals and then everyone would go, they didn't have all the cards I wanted in it. Like, it doesn't matter. The only reason why is because you have perspective, and it's Modern Horizons. It's what it's called. But if it wasn't called that, you really think Magic players would find no reason to complain?
Oh, no. It would just – maybe it would be different people complaining, but
– it would be the same people.
No, I wouldn't be complaining about it that way. So different mm-hmm. people.
Sure.
I'm mm-hmm. sure we could find something to complain about. But no, I'm trying to make a positive. I'm trying to say I love the set. I just think they should have named it
different.
No, I know. That's it. That's the only – that and Counterspell. But again, aside from my personal opinions about Counterspell, I think they nailed it. I just think that they could have marketed it differently. So we don't need to dig into that. I think it's an awesome set. It's fantastic. Like the flavor, the throwbacks, just – and they're – it's going to make an impact in Modern. It's going to make a huge impact.
It is.
And so I think, do you want to, should we just kick things off with one of those counter target spells that you were referring to?
Do it.
Okay. So an hour after we recorded the previous segment, they previewed Archmage's Charm, Archmage. Okay. Let's put it right in front of me. So Archmage's Charm is a rare instant for blue, and it's choose one counter target spell. Target player draws two cards or gain control of target non-land permanent with converted mana cost one or less. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. That kind of made me feel a little bit better about the fact that Counterspell isn't in the set. It is a bad cancel, but it has the option to be a bad cancel if that's what you need at the time. It also has the option to be an instant speed divination or a way to deal with basically, 70% of the permanents that see play in Modern. Like,
yeah.
You grab somebody's Aether Vial, and, you know, that's you can't use it really, but, I mean, you take it away from the humans player that was playing it. Or, I think you mentioned this, grab Death Shadow and probably kill it unless you took a large enough hit to actually make it a creature that you can use. But
or grab their Chalice of the Void, which changes nothing.
You could do that. You could do that. You
can grab their, I have it.
Steal their Amulet of Vigor. You know, like there's so many things you could take. I'm stealing your Goblin Guide.
Yep.
Whatever. So there, you could deal with some of these threats by just taking them, if it's already snuck under a counter spell, or you counter something, or you get your instant speed card draw. And so I'm pretty excited about this card. I don't know, that mana cost is super prohibitive. Now I know that's weird because we play Cryptic Command in blue decks, but ostensibly you want to play this on turn three. So that's a little bit tricky, even in a deck like Blue-White Control in Modern, it plays like 4 to 5 colorless lands and a couple of planes.
Yeah, I've noticed I've in my limited experience playing against Blue-White Control in Modern, mm-hmm. I've noticed that the deck has trouble getting its lands. I'm like, it's two colors. It's like the deck that's supposed to have a bunch of lands. How are you mana screwed? I don't know. I just feel like the deck has like mana trouble, even though it's like shouldn't by definition, you know what I mean? It should be the deck that is hitting all their land drops.
Right.
But I've just noticed that when I was playing against it last night and when I was playing against you, just like the stumbles on mana are surprising, you know?
Yeah, so now a lot of lists are playing 4 copies of Field of Ruin and then possibly 1 copy of Blast Zone. So you have 5 colorless lands and then usually a couple of planes, like basic planes. So, you know, now you've got like 7 lands in the deck that aren't going to be able to cast Archmage's Charm. So that's a problem. So if it sees play in that deck, the mana base may be slightly adjusted. Maybe it's 1 planes and a Mystic Gate, something like that, that's going to help hit blue. Or a situation where you cut back, you know, maybe you only play 3 Field of Ruin and 1 Blast Zone, something just to mitigate that mana cost, or and it's probably a little of both here, you only play 1 to 2 copies of Archmage's Charm. I keep saying Archmage and Archmage interchangeably.
Just say what you feel. Who cares what's right? I say Archmage. I'll say Archmage forever.
Okay.
I'm going to say Dread Horn, Dreadhood, or whatever. Dreadhood, Dreadhorn, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get so mad at Ryan. I'll text Ryan and I'll have a typo and he'll go, huh? And I'm like, you know what I mean. Use your brain. Like I said, like, tough instead of stuff. And you're like, tough? What's tough? Like, what do you mean, what's tough? You know the context of the sentence. But anyway, sorry, Ryan. I should have said that to you in a text and not on a podcast.
But you probably would have had a typo and he wouldn't have been, you know, able to understand what you meant. Sorry, Ryan. So anyway, I'm really excited about this particular charm. And I don't think it's going to see like massive play, but in the 75, maybe three copies, but most likely you play one to two copies in a blue white deck. You may have to adjust your mana base, or you play like a mono blue deck. Like Gabe Nassif has been testing like a Narset mono blue deck, in Modern. And it's been kind of fun to watch that, where it's like Narset and Day's Undoing, to kind of basically say, oh, I'm going to draw seven and you're going to draw one. So, That's a fun deck, I'm sure.
Pop quiz.
Yeah.
What do you think the first card that's going to be banned from this set is in Modern?
I hadn't thought about any of that because I don't really feel like anything
That's why it's a pop quiz, Joey.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I have one.
You have one. Well, then you go, because otherwise dead air.
Okay. I think it's going to be Echo of Eons.
Okay.
Honestly.
Well,
I think Echo of Eons is going to be banned. I don't think it's going to be banned from day one, because why would you print it? But I think that with Narset, because Narset's not bannable. I mean, Narset's powerful, but it's not a card you ban. It's a card that really does enable blue-white control, which is a deck that needed to be enabled in Modern, frankly, because it's a cool deck. People love it, and it just wasn't there for a long time.
Well, read Echo of Aeons so that people know.
Yes. Echo of Eons. It's 4 and 2 blue. It's a sorcery. It's a mythic rare. And it says, each player shuffles their hand and graveyard into their library, then draws 7 cards. And it has flashback, 2 and a blue. And so the flashback part is where I'm at. Like, ugh, really? Flashback? Really? Oh, my God. Like, this is terrible. I don't like it. Like, I think that this card, like, I mean, especially coupled with Narset, is just going to be stupid strong, you know? And I think that of the cards in this set, this card stands out to me as too powerful for the format. I don't know.
I definitely see your points. I don't necessarily disagree, because I don't have a hard stance on it, but my thought process is this card is obviously powerful. So I think they may have tested it a lot more, and that's where I kind of feel like, well, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. Like, the thing is, you do have to get it into the graveyard. That's not that hard, but it does. Nobody's casting it for 6. Like, that's like casting Force of Will on 5. Like, you don't do it very often. It may come up, but it's rare. So mostly you're going to have a deck that needs to do at least a little bit of work to get it into the graveyard, and then some work because you need to put Narset into play. Those are totally doable things. But then at that point, you have kind of a similar situation to what you already have with Narset and Day's Undoing, right? So it's not like that effect doesn't already exist. It may just be too slow or not strong enough. It's kind of a soft block, right? Like, okay, I just drew a bunch of cards and you didn't. Like, that's it. You know, it's kind of not... again, a bunch of cards, very powerful. And so I definitely see where you're coming from, but I'm also kind of thinking maybe it's not as bad as it looks, because I assume they tested it more because of its initial power level, or the power level that it looks like it would have. I could be wrong.
Right. But I mean, Day's Undoing, first of all, it ends the turn. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't get to do anything after you cast Day's Undoing, and your opponent gets to untap and do stuff. Whereas this, no restriction. You pay 3 if you pay 3. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to do stuff after that, which at that point, I'm sure you have a bunch of lands and stuff, you know, so you can actually cast something to follow up. And you get to do it for 6 later in the game if you draw it late, you know, like, you get to do it and then do it I don't know. I just feel like there's way too much going on with this card for it to stay legal for long.
So,
but that's just me.
I mean, I understand, and I'm certain they have their eyes on it, and I think. But do think about, like, Modern is a pretty fast format. Not a lot of decks can even generate 6 mana, you know, during a game. So, or in one turn. In this case, okay, you flash it back. Say you have 6 mana, you flash it back. You've got your turn and 3 mana left. Like, what are you going to do with 3 mana? You know, it's, I'm just saying the boost in that turn may not be as much, but still, yeah, your opponent is on one card or two cards in hand when they start their turn. So I understand. I just am saying maybe it's not as bad as it looks. And I could see it being banned, though. I'm not saying it's out of the question.
I'm not even necessarily saying it's as bad as it looks. Mm-hmm. I think that it's the first card that gets banned out of this set. I don't know when that would be.
Right.
But I just feel like if they were to ban a card from this set, it would be that.
So
I think that's the one that has the potential to get out of hand.
That makes sense. So the next card, here's a card that I'm very excited to play with, but I feel like it's kind of like, this shows how much of a spike tendency, kind of the way I lean towards playing spiky cards, is that I'm excited to play with Sunbaked Canyon, which is a land that adds red or white, and you can sacrifice it to draw a card. Like, you know, it's a Horizon Canopy for red and white. Not exciting, except apparently to me, because I want to put it in burn. I just want to be able to play a burn deck that doesn't flood out like it does sometimes. I have played Modern Burn. Anybody listening knows that I played it back at a CG Baltimore in February. And one of the reasons that after that tournament I added Shard Volley into the deck was because I kept flooding out. And I'm like, I have all these lands. I don't have any ways to use them, and Sunbaked Canyon fits into that perfectly because, hey, if I draw 5 lands and one of them is Sunbaked Canyon, at least I have a way to possibly turn it into a spell.
Right.
And I certainly don't care that much about adding or about paying 1 life to get a red. Occasionally, the game is usually over pretty quickly for red decks anyway, so I don't think I'm going to be burning myself into oblivion there. But I'm excited about this whole cycle, but that's the one that I'm most excited to play with right now.
Right. I want to talk about a reprint.
Okay.
Because I'm excited about it, and it's totally from my days of playing Commander, playing casual, but I think it has really good implications for Modern, is Carrion Feeder. Carrion Feeder is 1 black. It's a 1/1. It's an uncommon. It's a zombie. And it can't block. Sacrifice a creature. Put a +1/+1 counter on Carrion Feeder. Very simple. You know, not the most exciting card in the world, but there are people. I want to say it was Ari Lax, and I'm not sure. Haven't looked, but I think Ari Lax had posted a Modern Zombies list based off of the reprinting of this card, and I'm pretty into it. And let's also note, I don't think it's good, or I'm not sure it's good, but Endling is also a zombie. I'll read that one too real quick.
Sure.
It's black 2, rare 3/3, zombie shapeshifter. Pay a black, Endling gains menace until end of turn. Pay a black, Endling gains death touch until end of turn. Pay a black, Endling gains undying until end of turn. And pay a colorless for your classic Morphling, +1/-1, or -1/+1 until end of turn. So, pretty freaking cool. They're pushing for some zombies here. And the Putrid Goblin is another one. 2/2 for a black and 1 with persist, so it can come back. You can sacrifice it to Carrion Feeder twice. So that's pretty neat, and I don't know. I'm not certain that it works, but I'm certain it'll be a Fringe Division segment.
I love it.
So, So that's pretty cool. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's the thing about Carrion Feeder. It's like a free sacrifice outlet for one mana. I mean, you know, it's free to sacrifice, but it costs one mana to get into play. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I played this card back when it was legal in Standard, and I loved it. I had like a black green deck that was had Color of the Claw in it. And this was in it. I don't know. Carrion Feeder has a special place in my heart just from the for nostalgia reasons, but I think it's still a powerful card. First of all, it's one mana. So, I mean, what is somebody going to do? Archmage's Charm it after it's really big?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That was just a little bit of a... I was throwing some veiled shade at it.
But it can't block.
That's true. It can't block. That's bad for a deck play. You know, I need to be able to block. I have to,
right.
You know.
So keep that in mind.
Just
you're
have
like, ah, I got your 7/7 goblin. What are you, a zombie? What are you gonna do? Swing? So you're gonna swing.
All right, fine. I'll just kill it with Path to Exile. So let's see. What's the next card I wanted to talk about? Oh, okay. Collector Oof. So Collector Oof is a rare. It's a 2/2 for a green and one, so it's a grizzly bear kind of thing, but it's an oof creature. Activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated. So I think this is exciting. First of all, it's Stony Silence on a stick. In green, you can search for it with Summoner's Pact. So to me, I think this shows up as like a one of in Amulet Titan, which traditionally plays kind of a little bit of a toolbox game, even before playing the Karn Great Creator toolbox package with being able to search up artifacts out of your sideboard.
Right.
But being able to just use Summoner's Pact to grab a Reclamation Sage for a problematic artifact, they already do that. So having Collector Oof as another option, I'm not sure if it's going to be a little bit metagame dependent, I think, if you're expecting a lot of artifact or decks that have a lot of artifact activated abilities, this is going to be great. But, you know, just destroying somebody's one of artifact is, you know, that's what Reclamation Sage is for. So kind of depends on the metagame, but you know, you have anytime you would want to play a Stony Silence, well, now green can play it. And now, Amulet Titan decks can play it and grab it with a Summoner's Pact. That's why Collector Oof excites me, for the format.
Does that work with Mycosynth Lattice too?
I mean, Mycosynth Lattice, yeah, I guess it does, right? So Mycosynth Lattice makes everything into an artifact, and Collector Oof, I guess, yeah. So you actually have a supplemental thing. So if somebody kills your Karn, I think that works, right? So, your own artifacts can't be activated either, but with Karn, I think it's just your opponent's. You're right. No, that shuts down your own deck too. You can't tap because Mycosynth Lattice.
Yeah, but if the board's clear and you play a 2/2 and you can just swing.
This can be a nice backup. It's not a perfect backup.
It's an emergency button. Yeah, no, it's an emergency button.
Right.
It's like press in case of emergency.
Right. You're locking out your opponent, but you're also locking out yourself. So you have to have board presence already, or board
right.
advantage already. That's the situation
right.
here. But it is a nice backup for Karn in that situation. I do like it. I didn't thought about it that way, but
Cards in library? Okay. Collector Oof.
Yeah.
Less than me? All right. Collector Oof. Let's go.
Yeah.
Neither one of us is doing anything, but you're going to run out of cards first.
There you go.
Well, magic is fun.
I love it.
So there you go.
Your turn.
Okay. I want to talk about some shenanigans here, man.
Oh, yes. And, good. I'm glad you brought this up.
And, you know, and my decree of shenanigans is just, I want to talk about the card Shenanigans. It's a red and one. I know everyone's been making the, Super Troopers jokes, but it just makes me think of South Park. There was a whole episode where people were calling shenanigans and then they were like having like a tribunal about whether or not the call of shenanigans was correct. But anyway, it's a red and one. It's a sorcery. Destroy target artifact. Dredge one. So this card's great. You know, repeatable artifact removal for dredge.
For anybody. For
anybody, right. For anybody. It's crazy. I'm really glad this card isn't in the format today because I've been running in Snaring Bridge and like I got rid of someone's Culligan's command, but then they still had an abrade, but I still had two ensnaring bridges. But anyway, actually they dealt with both ensnaring bridges and then I cast a third one and then they lost. But this card would have just been like, great. You know, like,
yeah, every turn you draw a shatter as long as you want to, like, that's kind of what it comes down to. So,
a braid is an instant, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the difference is when I, like, so for instance, when I tried to surgical Culligan's command in response, they played a snapcaster and flashed it back.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? So the difference is you can hit shenanigans with a surgical on your turn and they can't do anything about it.
Right.
You know,
lose some utility there because it isn't an instant. You do have to cast it at sorcery speed. And so it leaves it a little bit susceptible to something like that for sure.
Right. But if you don't have to worry about that, this is incredible.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. That was it.
Yeah,
that's all. I
agree. I was going to bring this card up too because again, it's like this is such a spiky card. It's not exciting. It's just I get to destroy an artifact, and I get to do it every turn if I'd like, as long as my opponent can't exile this card. So
right.
So speaking of, I guess you referenced South Park. I have a question for you. What rolls downstairs alone or in pairs? Rolls over your neighbor's dog. That's right. It's log. We have Ren and Stimpy printed in this set, except they spelled Stimpy wrong. But log is right there in the picture.
I really didn't know where you were going with that. I remember you making the Ren and Stimpy joke. But oh my God, that's really funny. It is log, isn't it?
I mean, log is right there.
We got to get Eric Klug of Klug Alters to make a log. Altar of this.
Yeah, I mean, I just really wanted to make the Ren and Stimpy reference on the podcast, but this Planeswalker, 2-mana Planeswalker, starts with 3 loyalty. It's a mythic rare. +1 is return up to 1 target land card from your graveyard to your hand. -1 is it deals 6 damage to any target. And -7, you get an emblem with instant and sorcery cards in your graveyard.
Did you say it deals 6 damage to any target? It deals 1.
Sorry, I may have just been reading Ren and 6.
Because you read Ren and 6. Yeah. So it's,
-1, Ren and 6 deals 1 damage to any target, and Ren and 1 deals 6 damage to any target. But there's, yeah. -7, you get an emblem with instant and sorcery cards in your graveyard have retrace. This is the best 2-mana Planeswalker ever, right? I mean, it only has Tybalt as competition, but for 2-mana, it's, you know, you can, the easy thing is just keep reusing your fetch lands.
Yep.
Any kind of utility land, blast zone, things like that. So, I mean, it's 2-mana. You can't expect it to be, to have like incredible abilities, but at 2-mana, being able to just be like, okay, you play Noble Hierarch, go, and I go, all right, Ren and 6, kill your Hierarch, and have a Planeswalker still on the board. I don't know. It just seems really, really good, and I'm excited to see what people do with it. I could totally see myself playing a deck with this in it because Ren and Stimpy, but because it's powerful.
Well, there are decks that could use this, and I actually want to piggyback off of what you're talking about here because what is that card? And I can't remember the name of it. It was from Kamigawa. It was a 1/1, and when it dies, each player sacrifices a land.
I mean, there's Sakura Tribelder, but that's – I don't know if that's
no,
that's not what you're talking about.
No.
You're saying the creature, when it died, each player sacrificed a land?
Here we go. I got it. There it is.
Aki Blizzard Herder.
Yep.
Found at the same time. Okay.
Yep.
So go ahead.
So anyway, I was thinking about like – it's a weird deck. So, I mean, we've got Pillage in the format right now, right? Not right now, but we will.
Right. It's in the
Pillage,
set.
For those of you who don't know, is destroy target artifact or land. It can't be regenerated for 2 red and 1. It's an uncommon. It's a sorcery. So we have that in the format, which I know Josh Clater is really excited about, for one, because we've got Stone Rain, we've got this, we've got Molten Rain, we've got a land destruction deck coming together, right? if you were to like couple this with like Aki Blizzard Herder, which in on its surface isn't great because it's a 1/1 for 2, which is already bad. When it's put into a graveyard from play, each player sacrifices a land, so you're down a land too. But then potentially you could get that you could get your land back with the
Renin six.
I don't know if that's really good, but I'm just saying like there's stuff you could do.
The synergies are there. Like, that's what it is.
There are synergies, yeah. Right. There's a lot of synergies. I mean, and I know people with Life from the Loam or something, you know, there's those decks can use this. I don't know what those decks do, but I'm sure they do stuff. And this card could fit in there. I think it's a cool card. I think it has a lot of utility. I think it's really interesting. I think it enables stuff that we can't even come up with right now.
I'm thinking we've already gone pretty long. So if you have – I'm looking through to see if there's any – one more card I want to talk about, but I don't necessarily have anything. If you have something you want to,
actually, just real quick.
Sure.
Collected Conjuring, is a red, a blue, and 2. It's a sorcery. It's a rare. Exile the top 6 cards of your library. You may cast up to 2 sorcery cards with converted mana cost 3 or less from among them without paying their mana cost. But the exiled card's not cast its way on the bottom of your library in a random order. Mm-hmm. Not as excited about that as I was when I thought it was just 2 instant or sorceries, but Ryan mentioned Pillage with that card. So you could run all the 3 mana land destruction spells with that. And then another card
If you're playing blue-red, if you're playing blue, then you also get the benefit of playing cards like Mana Leak, Logic Knot, Spell Pierce, because you're keeping them off lands. All these are going to be counter spells. You know?
Well, that makes Throes of Chaos less good.
Okay. Well, was that what you were about to say? Throes of Chaos?
Well, yeah, because Throes of Chaos is a red in 3. It has Cascade, mm-hmm. which any spell hits that. So then, yeah, that makes a lot of your counter spells dead.
Sure. No, yeah.
And then it also has Retrace. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. That's really neat because you run the counter spells, you run the land destruction, you run the thing that lets you cast the land destruction and not the counter spells. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like Day's Wasteland. Kind of the same concept. You're like, well, I'm going to mm-hmm. wasteland you, and then my days is active longer. So same deal here where you're like, if you're destroying their lands, they're not going to have 3 mana to pay for a mana leak.
Right.
Things like that. And again, you get things like Logic Knot and even just Spell Pierce. Like, that's, you know, 1 mana counter your spell mm-hmm. because you don't have 2 extra mana. So that's kind of an interesting idea. I'm a little
for sure.
Little concerned now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm excited to see what you can do with it in the Fringe division.
No doubt. So. I'm going to try it. just 2 quick things. I don't even want to talk about cards.
Okay.
I just want to talk about groups of cards. We've got ninjas that they're really pushing in this set, which is interesting because there were some people already trying to play some kind of ninja decks. Mm-hmm. In Modern, very Fringe, obviously, but they've really given a lot of support to ninjas. Goblin Matron got reprinted, so Goblins has some pretty powerful tools in its tool belt now going into this set's release. And Merfolk got Jack.
Yeah, that's kind of – there's a Merfolk subreddit that was very upset, I heard, and there were some people laughing at that. I mean, if you were expecting it, which I don't think it's unreasonable, I can see why people would be upset, but –
Everybody can't have everything all the time, but I will say this, as someone who played Merfolk in Legacy, you don't have any Merfolk in the set, but I feel like the Merfolk in the deck were already fine, right?
Yeah.
But you got Force of Negation, which, like, Mental Misstep was banned in Legacy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Force of Negation is a free counterspell for a deck that needed a free counterspell.
Right.
You know? You don't have Days, but you do have Force of Negation, which I feel like makes the deck even more powerful than printing an individual new Merfolk, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you're not going to counter any Supreme Verdicts, but other than that, you can still protect your Merfolk from spot removal, things like that, that are going to get people out of the game, or other Wraths. You know, people play Wrath of God and Settle the Wreckage and other sweeper spells, Anger of the Gods,
right.
Things that can be countered. So that's a reasonable point. Now, I haven't seen merfolk in modern very often, so I'm not sure where their weaknesses lie. So, but Force of Negation seems like it could be a card that they would want for that deck, or at least consider it.
I actually think I think I read on Twitter that it just won a Moto PTQ.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I have to look.
I haven't seen it either, but apparently, from what I hear, it just won, like, you know, a PTQ.
Sure.
So the deck's out there,
right.
You know, it's around. And I feel like Force of Negation even makes it better. So something to keep in mind, y'all.
Yeah, for sure. Any other?
I think I'm good, man. I mean, we could go on and on and on
about
this. Yes,
we could.
This.
We have, and we could. We could keep going, yeah.
Future Sight got reprinted. That's legit. You know, I mean, like, this is lots of cool stuff going on. Go play in your pre-releases. They're coming up this weekend. Eighth and ninth. Right. I'm going to go to one on the ninth.
Awesome.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, good stuff happening.
Yeah. I'm super excited about the set. I don't know, exactly what I'm, you know, what my first targets are, other than a couple copies of Force of Negation and Archmage's Charm, and probably Sunbaked Canyon. But yeah, I'm excited to see what this deck does to Modern, because Modern's my favorite format and I love how it evolves and still allows people to play so many various strategies, and you get to play with older cards that, you know, I love playing with a lot of these cards. I love them in Standard. I want to keep playing with them. So I love that. So
I'm not going to lie, Joey, I'm warming up to Modern a little bit.
I thought that might happen if you played a bit, and I, you know, I'm glad you started. So we're going to talk about that a lot next episode. So we have another new segment that we wanted to add to the show. And this is just kind of, we wanted to shed some light, spread some love in the podcast community. So I think every episode, what we're going to do is actually shout out another podcast that we listen to and want to recommend. So this week, our subject of our Interplanar Beacon segment,
theme music here, yeah,
tentatively named Interplanar Beacon,
theme music here,
is the Dive Down. So Dive Down podcast, it's really, really well produced. I know I shared an episode with you last week, and it's another great podcast, mostly focused on Modern. They did a whole episode about blue-white control, so you know that'll find its way right onto my list as soon as I see something like that. But I gave it a listen, and I loved it, and so they have now won me over to check them out every week. So we will link them in the show notes, but shout out to the Dive Down.
Yeah, we figure since we're every 2 weeks, we got to give y'all something to listen to in between.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to get y'all listening to some good stuff while you're waiting for our next show. So there you go. Dive Down rocks. Check them out. Like, it really was insightful listening about blue-white control, because I played two of my first seven matches of Modern were against blue-white control, and I feel like listening to that gave me a really good idea of what to expect and what to play around, and, you know, what their end game was, which helped me adjust my end game.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
So it's great. As
good info.
Thoroughly productive listening. So
I think that about does it for this week. We want to thank both of our sponsors, Cool Stuff Inc. and CardHoarder.com, and also a shout out and thank you to our patrons on Patreon. You can join our Discord and join the fun, chatting with us repeatedly throughout the day and the weeks in between episodes. If you want to support us, go to Patreon.com/YoMTGTaps. So until next time, we are YoMTGTaps.
Make them happy. So, this is the story. A bunch of years ago, I was going to, because I guess I had signed up for a Moto account a long time ago, but never actually got into it. So, I went to like this, but again, this is like 2013, 2014 or something. I went to get back into my Moto account and I couldn't remember the password. So I was like, dang it, you know, so I got to figure out the password, and it has like, you know, it gives you that, like, what is your secret question or whatever.
Right.
Right. So I go, I'm like, okay, secret question, fine. So I click on it, and the secret question I had assigned for myself was, how many fingers am I holding up? I tried so many different joke answers, like real answers. I tried the word hand. You know, I just tried like any weird thing I could have ever thought to put as the answer to that question. Oh, I tried, and none of them worked. So I had to like get, email them and deal with all this crap, but I eventually got it changed. But I was just like, oh my God, did I really just troll myself this hard? I was so mad at myself from like 3 years ago. I couldn't even believe it.
That is awesome.